Blog Talk Radio.
Revive us again is our daily prayer. Welcome to Manna from Heaven. It's Friday. It's Men's Fellowship Day. I've been thinking about what treats are we going to have for Men's Fellowship. I can only imagine. There's got to be some pumpkin pie. We just had some pumpkin pie 2 weeks ago. And I've always had pumpkin pie with crust. This one had no crust, and it was so heavenly. Then Brother Sterling brought out the vanilla ice cream, and the combination of the two was just amazing, amazing. I brought a piece of pumpkin pie home the last time we met, and the missus was watching a movie, and the lights were out. The kids were in bed with Mama. They were watching a movie, and while she just loved it. I brought it to her. Then at about midnight, I said, "Oh man, I gave her that pumpkin pie. No, I wanted it at midnight." Well, I can only imagine what treats there are for today. A couple of weeks before that, we had some rhubarb. Sister Char made some rhubarb. Oh, my goodness. Oh, amazing, amazing, amazing. Keep it up, ladies. Keep it up, sisters in Christ. Keep it up. So we're looking at Deborah and Jael, godly housewives and heroic warrior women. I can only imagine what Deborah and Jael sent to the men's fellowship. Our scripture text is Judges 4:9, and it reads, "And she, Deborah, said, I will surely go with thee, Barak, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman, Jael." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh, to Kadesh. Godly housewives and heroic warrior women. Today we're looking at Barak, the man who was just rebuked in the text that we read. He was rebuked for his cowardice. Look at your outline on page 2. The section that we want to look at is Friday, July 15th, Barak, God's cowardly general. Barak was handpicked by God. God spoke to the prophetess Deborah and said to Deborah, "You go get Barak and you tell him that he is to lead my people against the Canaanites." And that's exactly what Deborah did. She heard from the Lord, the prophetess heard from God, and as the mouthpiece of the Lord, she said to Barak, "Thus saith the Lord, he has chosen you to go lead 10,000 Israelites into battle against the mighty Canaanites." And Barak said, "No, I won't go." In fact, let's read that. Let's go to Judges. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. And it says in verse 6, "And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said unto Deborah, "If you do not go with me, I will not go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. Or rather, if you go with me, I will go, but if you do not go with me, I will not go." And she said, which is verse 9, our key verse, and she said, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that you take shall not be for your own honor, for the Lord who was going to give you this guy into your hands will now put him in the hands of a woman, because you were a coward. You said that you would not go unless I went with you." Yes, cowardly men in the church. Remember, saints, we've already covered this at length. When it came to war, war was to be handled by God, Israel's divine warrior, sole divine warrior, and the men of Israel. Women need not apply. But in this case, the men were so cowardly. The men were so cowardly that God had to use two women who had fight in them. And you know, today I look at the church today, and there are some valiant men in the church today, but for the most part, the church is filled with cowardly men. They don't want to fight for the Lord. They don't want to take the fight to the devil. They don't want to take the fight to the powers that be. They are cowardly and in many times indifferent. Now, let's look at Barak. His name means lightning or thunderbolt. Remember James and John, what Jesus named them? He called them the sons of thunder. Why? Because they were ready to rumble. James and John were always ready to fight. He said, you know, you guys are the sons of thunder. You are like lightning and thunderbolts. You come ready to fight. You come ready for action. Well, this guy, Barak, that's his name, but he was a man you could not count on. Barak was God was a God-chosen general who almost became a whimper instead of being lightning. You know the sound of lightning. The sound of lightning is powerful. A thunderbolt would put fear in people's hearts. Yet Barak did not live up to the meaning of his name and almost became a whimper, save for the rebuke of the prophetess Deborah. Some men need to be rebuked. Some men need to be strongly challenged. Some men need to be taken out of their cowardice by means of strong words. Here is this guy. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read Judges 4, verse 8. And Barak said to Deborah, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if you don't go, if you don't hold my hand, if you don't go with me and stand next to me, I will not go. That's cowardice. Now, I'm not going to read the quote here. I just want to read the portion in black. It says, Barak, this quote comes to us by means of John Brown's Dictionary of the Holy Bible. It says, Barak refused to attempt this unless Deborah would go along with him. She consented, but told him that his cowardice would be punished by the Lord giving the chief honor of the victory, the death of General Sisera, into the hand of a woman, a housewife named Jael. So notice, who's leading the charge? A prophetess and a housewife. They will secure the victory for God's people. They will do it, because the prophetess has to hold Barak's hand, the coward, she has to hold his hand. Deborah is like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, and Barak like the Cowardly Lion. No, Dorothy, I won't go unless you go with me. That's Barak. And the church today, believe it or not, is filled with men whose hearts are filled with fear. They won't fight for the Lord. They refuse to fight for the Lord unless someone holds their hand, unless somebody puts the armor on them and puts the sword in their hand and fights alongside. They will never fight alone. You know, Deborah said to him, the Lord will be with you. He says, no, I need you to be with me. I need you to be my mommy. Would you be my mommy today? Will you go with me, mommy? Sad. Now, on the bottom of the quote, on the bottom, it says, the last sentence, it says, and to condemn the tribes of Asher, Dan, and Reuben for their inactivity. So it just wasn't Barak who was a coward. there was the whole tribe of Asher, a whole tribe of men, the whole tribe of Dan, and the whole tribe of Reuben. Think about that. Those are three tribes that would not go to battle because of what? Well, in their case, it wasn't cowardice. In their case, it was indifference. And see, men in the church, and I'm talking about, this is a blanket statement. You go to church and you find 50 men. Out of the 50, you'll find three that are willing to fight. You'll find a Caleb, and you'll find a Joshua, and you'll find a Moses who are willing to fight. The other 47, no, we are little grasshoppers. No, we are too little in our own sight. No, we cannot take the fortified cities. No, we can't do this. No, we can't do that. Remember what happened to the 12 spies? Only two came back with the report and with the declaration. They said, we can take the giants in the land. There were giants. But it was only Joshua and Caleb who said, we can take them on. And then the other 10 were too cowardly. No, we can't take them on. For we are but grasshoppers in our own estimation, in our own eyes. And so they were full of cowardice. And those 10 spies died that day by the judgment of the Lord. The Lord killed them for their cowardice. And then Joshua and Caleb waited another 40 years to get into the promised land and to do what God called them to do, which was to fight. And they fought. Caleb fought and won. Joshua fought and won. But there was a 40-year pause because the camp was filled with cowards, male cowards, who wouldn't take the fight to the enemy. So notice, cowardice and indifference. All right, so let's look at what is cowardice. Cowardice is lack of courage. Lack of courage is cowardice. It's the simplest definition. A short, concise, but accurate definition. Cowardice is lack of courage. Chicken-hearted instead of lion-hearted. Now, what is a coward? Coward, according to the Oxford Thesaurus, is a milksop. A milksop. In other words, a baby boy. One who's still holding on to mommy's hand. That's a coward. Another word or phrase for coward is namby-pamby. This is out of the Oxford Thesaurus. Another word, another synonym used, another word that you can put in place of coward is mouse or yellow belly or chicken. Now, these are not slang terms. These are not street terms. No, this is in the great Oxford Thesaurus. When you look up the word coward, you have weakling, milksop, namby-pamby, mouse, chicken, yellow belly, scaredy cat. That's what you find. That was Barak, a full-grown man called of God to lead his armies into battle, and he was a milksop because he said to Deborah, I won't go unless you go with me. I won't go. And she says, I'll go with you. But because you played the milksop, because you played the mouse, because you played the chicken, because you're talking like a scaredy cat, God has now judged you. And the great honor of defeating the pivotal person in the battle will not be yours, but it would be given to a lowly housewife, to a woman who right now is probably making butter. She's probably making bread. She's probably making coffee or tea. To that woman who right now is engaged in her chicken.
cooking chicken or probably cooking beef, whatever she's doing for dinner, to that woman who has an apron around her waist and has her hands full of flour, to that woman, or who perhaps right now is doing dishes, or who perhaps right now is milking the cow, to that woman, to that domestic woman, to that homemaker, Susie Homemaker, God will cause her to rise up in heroism and do what you failed to do, Mr. Milksop. Now, to the other tribes like Asher, Dan, and Reuben, they represent those males which show indifference. When one is indifferent, one is what? Unconcerned, uninterested, uncaring. Notice, you talk to men today in the church about apostasy in the church, how the enemy is making inroads into the church. They don't seem to show so many men. And I know because I've been doing this for years. So many men show no concern. They're unconcerned, they're uninterested, they're uncaring, they're uninvolved. Try getting men involved. They're unmoved. Here comes the enemy. The enemy is getting closer and closer. It doesn't move them. They're unresponsive. They seem to be detached, dispassionate, apathetic. That's indifference. So here is Jabin, king of the Canaanites, and there is his general, Sisera. And for years, they've been abusing the people of God. And the men of Asher, the men of Dan, the men of Reuben are unconcerned, uninterested, uncaring, uninvolved, unmoved, unresponsive, detached, dispassionate, apathetic about their plight. They're being abused. Their wives are being abused. Their children are being abused. And the men are completely indifferent. To be indifferent is to have no particular interest in or feelings about something. An indifferent person, a person who showcases indifference, is a person that can never be counted on to make a difference. Don't count on indifferent people to help you make a difference. They're going to disappoint you. And this is why Deborah, the prophetess, rebukes them, rebukes the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Dan, and the tribe of Reuben. The church is in the mess that it's in because God's appointed warriors do not want to fight. For whatever reason, and there are 1,000 reasons that they'll give you, there are 1,000 excuses why they don't want to fight. They just don't want to fight. Now, men are designed to fight. It's the men who must fight. For Jehovah is a man of war. Not a woman of war, a man of war. And all the men who are to be drafted, recruited, enlisted, or all the soldiers, rather, who are to be drafted, enlisted, recruited, were to be male. War was a male occupation only. And yet, this sad juncture of biblical history, the men didn't want to fight. And the one who would go was so scared, such a milksop, that he wouldn't go at it alone. So he asked the woman to go with him to hold his hand. Can you imagine? I mean, you're supposed to hold your sword in one hand and your shield in another. And here you are, you're holding your shield, and with your other hand, you're holding on to Deborah. You have two hands. one for a sword, one for a shield. But Barak had his shield in his hand or his sword. I don't know which one he had in one hand. But in the other hand, he was holding on to Deborah, holding on to her skirt. That's what God was counting on. A guy who had a big name, I mean, talk about lightning, thunder, and yet, he wouldn't go to battle. He wouldn't move. He wouldn't move one leg if Deborah didn't go with him. And he led an army of 10,000, or was called to lead an army of 10,000. Cowardice and indifference is what's killing the church today. And we're alive today as a people. We're a church today victorious, mainly because of women like Deborah and women like Jael in the church who have made a difference. That's the truth. I look at every church that I've worked with, every single church that I've worked with in the last 40 years, and I can trace victories in those churches back to women, not the men, to women. Because we've been on a downhill slide for decades in the church. Slide. And not just in the church, in society. And this is why when you watch movies today, dads are irrelevant. They make dads to be irrelevant. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants for every man to be a Barak. And this was not just a situation or a condition only in Deborah's day. I want you to read 1 Corinthians as we're about to close. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is what Paul has to say to the men of Corinth before he closes out the letter. 1 Corinthians 16. Turn there with me, please. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. He's speaking to men. He says, be watchmen. You know, be a sentinel. Be a guard on the wall. Be on the lookout for the enemies of the church. He's saying to the men, you need to watch because the enemies are gunning for us. Then he says, stand fast in the faith. In other words, stand on the Bible. Fight your fight using scripture. May your two legs and feet be planted squarely on the word of God. Stand fast in the faith. Then he says, quit you like men. Now, that old King James phrase, quit you like men, it says instantly become men. Paul says, you're lacking courage. You're lacking courage. Some of you are like Barak. Some of you are milksops. Quit you like men. Stop acting like girls and turn yourselves into men. And then he concludes by saying, be strong. Be strong. Be tough. When the enemy hits you, you hit him back. Don't be a one-round boxer. Be a 15-round boxer. You take, but then you give. Be strong. Last to the last round. Don't allow yourself to get knocked out in the third round if it's a 15-round fight. Be strong. Take your punches. Be a Rocky. They knock you down, get back up. Your face is bloodied. Your face is swollen. You can't see out of both eyes because you've taken so many punches. Keep swinging. Keep getting up when the bell rings. Be strong. That's how you outlast the enemy. This has been a problem in every generation of the church. So, tomorrow we'll come back and we'll look at Jael. We'll look at this great housewife. Well, I love you all. I'm on my way to the men's fellowship. I'm on my way to hang out with the men who are not milksops, but who love milk and love cake and love ice cream. I'm one of those guys. I can't wait to go there tonight and see what's in store. It's always a surprise, always a blessing to see what there is in store for us. Well, let me pick a song here, and I'll see you tomorrow, Saturday, Lord willing. God bless you.
This next hymn is beloved by Christians all over the world. Hallelujah, What a Savior, also known as Man of Sorrows. It was published in 1875, written by Philip P. Bliss. Philip P. Bliss is also known by Christians because he wrote the music for It Is Well With My Soul. Bliss spent most of his life as an itinerant music teacher until 1874, at the urging of Dwight Moody, became a full-time missionary singer. He tragically passed away in a train accident a few years later, but all his music was never copyrighted so that it could be used freely by Christians all over the world.
Comes on.